Nicodemus arrives in the shadows of the night. He steps forth as an explorer. And so I invite you to imagine Jesus and Nicodemus meeting face to face by the light of a fire in a courtyard in a neighborhood on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Nicodemus is a religious leader, and he's not ready for his reputation to be publicly mingled with this strange but intriguing carpenter's son from Capernaum. And so I love the humanness of today's conversation in the midst of a gospel that sometimes gets very cosmic and caught up in the stratosphere. This story is very earthy. It's quite ordinary, and it feels like Jesus is at ease as he welcomes Nicodemus into his presence, as he welcomes Nicodemus and his exploratory comments and questions. There's an air of respect from Nicodemus. Rabbi, we acknowledge that you are from God. Who else could do the things that you are doing in these days? And Jesus responds with provocative words that include that exhortation for Nicodemus to be born from above. And of course, this makes Nicodemus pause and ponder as he speaks his mind. It's what? Wait, how? He starts getting very practical and talking of a second chance at being in his mother's womb. And then Jesus interrupts him and says, "Do not be astonished. I am talking about a rebirth through water. I am talking about renewal by the wind of the Spirit. I am talking about a recreation that descends and comes and blows in from above." And yet, Nicodemus is astonished. He's perplexed. And Jesus, again, gets very human and, I would say, even a bit humorous and punchy with Nicodemus. Jesus says, "You call yourself a teacher, and yet you do not understand these things? Pshaw!" Okay, pshaw is not in the original manuscript, but you get that feeling, right, that Jesus is kind of being a little punchy and even humorous here. And then Jesus finishes his conversation with that famous Bible verse that many of us probably know. But before we get there, let's talk more about Nicodemus and his exploratory ways. His heart and his mind pressing in to try and understand Jesus' heart and mind. Because a great takeaway of today's story is this: be like Nico. I don't think we could fit Nicodemus on the t-shirt, so it's just be like Nico. I hope that you can recognize, as you sit in the sanctuary or in your virtual space online, that many of us might already feel like Nico. We're pretty experienced Christians. And week after week, when I think about the people that call this place their community of faith, I think of the knowledge and the depth and the length of Christian journey that sits in these pews week after week. And I encourage you to get to know some of these wise, mature Christians that surround you even this day. Like, look around right now. Wise, mature Christians. Some of us are saying, "You looking at me?" No, we are. I know that many of us have been on the Christian journey for a long time. And so we might feel pretty comfortable alongside Nicodemus and his stature of religiosity, and I mean that in the best way possible. So let's take on his exploratory heart. And if Jesus tells us to not be astonished, then let's press into what does that mean? And on Trinity Sunday, this story is full of Trinitarian imagery. We have Creator God, a parenting God, nurturing and loving us. We see God the Son, Jesus, of course, in this conversation, this very real and yet maybe ordinary conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus, the Son of God, the fullness, the presence, the face of God. And God the Spirit blowing where it wants, moving how she wants, with fervor and freedom that no one can predict or contain or comprehend. And so, like Nicodemus, what do we need? What are we longing for as we live in this conversation with Jesus today? And what might be found by us? What's being revealed to us? How is God opening our hearts and our ears and our imaginations? Let us be curious. Let's be curious about God. God can handle our curiosity. Let's experience what Nicodemus was experiencing. Something was being revealed. It's revelation. Some new understanding was being formed. Some new possibility was being given to Nicodemus. And he had this posture of openness. So I want us to pause with those words, the phrases of possibility or revelation, newness, openness. On Trinity Sunday, as we live in this conversation alongside Jesus and Nicodemus, what might be new being birthed in our minds, our imaginations, our hearts? Because the Christian life is not to be stagnant and non-evolving. And so on Trinity Sunday, what is that word? Maybe it's revelation. Maybe you're feeling some new revelation. Or maybe it's possibility. What's a new possibility? How can I be open to God anew and see and feel and hear his presence in my midst? I'm going to give you 10 seconds to think. Possibilities, openness, revelation. Maybe there's just something that the Spirit is poking and prodding and growing in your heart, in our hearts. My phrase this week was Baptist possibility. Baptist possibility. And thinking about this unique place we have as Baptists in this place, in this time, with this new trajectory of welcome and generosity and hopefulness, what is our Baptist possibility? So in this part of the story, Nicodemus drifts away and then Jesus takes the stage and then speaks of John 3:16. And so I want to focus on John 3:16 for a few moments and encourage you with this reading of the Gospels, a new translation by Sarah Rudin. Sometimes when we want new possibilities and new imagination, sometimes it's encouraged by a new translation. This one translated by Sarah Rudin. And so I'm going to read her version of John 3:16. This is, in fact, how much God loved the world. He gave his only son born to him, so that everyone who trusted in him wouldn't be annihilated, but would have life for all time. God, you see, didn't send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so the world could be rescued through him. As we reacquaint ourselves with John chapter 3 in the context of this story, I would say that John 3:16 has sometimes been used improperly to maybe force a decision or a transaction. When the original intention of this story and this verse that gets so much mileage in the world is God loved the world. God loves the world. God in Christ loving and reconciling the whole world to God's self. When we think about Baptist possibility or new ways to be and see and serve in the world, let this be a part of our message. Proclaiming a John 3:16 story not as eternal condemnation or punishment, but as a verse and a story of love. I know that's why many of you find yourselves in this place today, because this is a place where we preach that kind of gospel. And I want to talk about eternal life, because eternal life sometimes gets a lot of definitions in the world and in Christian culture. And I want to encourage you with this book, God Turned Towards Us, by Will Willimon, the ABCs of the Christian faith. And he writes this great reflection on eternal life, and I want to read part of that. To believe that Jesus is eternal life is to have a hope that in life, in death, in any promised life beyond death, the God who owes us nothing promises to give us everything. Not merely an extension of life as we know it, but rather life as God wants it. Christ, who in this life showed that he would go to any length to have us, would have us for all eternity. When I think about John 3:16, Willimon's ideas inform my imagination. This wide, wide welcome of love. Willimon, in different parts of this book, says, God gets what God wants, and God wants the whole world. As we close, a reminder, let's be like Nicodemus this week. Let's be curious. Let's be explorers. In these early days of the season after Pentecost, let's place ourselves before and with our God who lives in community. And again, I want to keep on stirring your hearts and your imagination. What is God revealing? What's the new understanding? What's the new possibility? Maybe it's a Baptist possibility. God says, do not be astonished. This is how I roll. Jesus says, I will continue to live and dwell among you. I will love and lead you. I will guide and guard you. I will abide with you. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. As we sang last week, I hope it echoes this week. Spirit of the living God, fall, blow, swirl, and whirl afresh on us.